Chapel program for September 11, 1964. Reverend Edwin Dozier, lifelong missionary to Japan, in charge.
May we pray together. Almighty God, our Father, thou knowest we love thee, and yet we must confess we do not love thee enough. Thou knowest, O God, we seek thee, but we fail to seek thee in spirit and truth. But be thou merciful unto us, O God, and as thou hast called us in this place, do not disappoint us, but as we come seeking thee, may we truly find thee and know that thou art God. To know something of thine everlasting love for us, to know something of thy holy presence. Forgive, O God, of our broken thoughts and the fragments of our devotion. Forgive us for the waywardness of our feet and the frailties of our task of our hands. But, O God, be pleased to know us and to let us know thy love for us, and be pleased to give us strength for the task to which thou hast set us, and give us joy in the midst of these things. Yea, grace, O Lord, we need, but let bits of glory be showered down upon us too. And let us know in the midst of all the trials and disappointments, amidst all our failures and frustrations, may we know thine eternal victory, for thine indeed is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. And, O God, give us a part in the coming of that kingdom. Bless the president of our seminary. Bless each member of the faculty, each member of the staff, and be with each student. Be with our loved ones, and keep us in all our going and coming, and let us rejoice to know that thou art God. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 451, O Zion, Haste. On Wednesday, in our library, I chanced to meet a man of whom I had heard nearly all my life, and I felt that it would be a shame and pity to have such a distinguished visitor on our campus and not to give you the opportunity of hearing him. I've asked Dr. Copeland, a long associate of this man, to present him to you. Dr. Copeland.
Dr. Blackmore is very generous indeed to give me this very happy privilege of presenting our speaker this morning because, as he says, we have been friends a long time. Dr. Edwin Dozier is the son of veteran missionaries to Japan. His father, Dr. C.K. Dozier, was founder of a very fine Baptist school, Seinon Gakuin, in Fukuoka, Japan, where I had the privilege of working for several years. And his mother is still a veteran missionary, retired, but still busy in Japan, very affectionately known to all of us as Mother Dozier. Dr. Dozier himself is an exemplary missionary, I would say. He is a man who has effected a very fine measure of identification with the Japanese people. He is a man who is unusually gifted as evangelist. I would rate him as one of the very most effective evangelists in Japan today. He also is an effective teacher, developer of churches, missionary statesman. He is a man of very fine poetic and artistic temperament and gifts. He is a man of deep Christian piety and of tender Christian compassion. In fact, I could hardly say too much about him, except that I could take too much of his time. He was educated at Canadian Academy at Kobe, Japan, and at Wake Forest College, where he received the Bachelor of Arts degree, so he is no stranger to this campus. He was awarded the Master of Theology degree by Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and a few years ago, Wake Forest College recognized the quality of his missionary leadership and his very remarkable contribution to Baptists and to the church at large by conferring upon him the Doctor of Divinity degree. It is a pleasure and a signal honor for me to introduce Dr. Edwin Dozier.
It is crimping my style to have to speak in English. I'd rather speak in Japanese. I've spoken more in public that way, but it is a privilege to be with you. The words that have been spoken of me, I do not deserve them. If anything is true about it, it's because I have a Savior who made it possible for me to do some of these things. We bring greetings from a small sister seminary of 32 students and 10 full-time faculty members there in Japan, Seinon Baptist Seminary. Also from the Japan Baptist, a growing convention, the Japan Baptist Convention. 17 years ago, when I was first there after the war, we had only 16 struggling churches with less than 500 members. Today, 103 churches and 98 missions, worshiping Sunday by Sunday with around 18,000 members. They send greetings to you along with these institutions with 8,000 students, our Baptist hospital, publication work, the Jordan Press in Tokyo, and the Amagi Baptist Assembly. They want you to know that they love you and appreciate what you and Southern Baptists at large have done for them. 167 pastors work along with 136 missionaries in our Japan field. But before we go further, you recall that Jesus went up on the mount one day and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And on he goes until he concludes, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." The New Life Movement of 1963 is history today. 141 teams shared with our churches there in Japan, as also did a number of others in the five big city meetings. And then after that, they went out into all the little churches and preaching places. Those that gain most from this are the new mission points that have been developed. We baptized 78% more people last year than we've ever baptized in the history of our convention as a result of the New Life Movement. In the expenditure of the New Life Movement, there was about a three-year budget, an operating budget, which the Foreign Mission Board has given to our convention and the mission itself, making around $1,700,000 that spent on the New Life Movement. We were given 23,000 different prospects upon whom we might work. Those that were baptized were not immediately result of the New Life Movement because they had been attending our churches previous to that time. But this movement gave them an opportunity to come to a clear decision for Christ and for baptism. These others we hope will come in the days ahead. In fact, before I left Japan July, many of the churches said, in their testimonies of those who are coming for church membership, there were quite a number saying, "We found Christ," or "We heard of Christ for the first time in the New Life Movement." But big movements like that alone will not win Japan to Christ. We are still striving and praying God to give us the key to the heart of Japan. And I beg of you that you will join us in that very sincere prayer of ours. How can we get into the life of nearly 100 million people there in those islands in an area one-tenth smaller than Virginia, the Carolinas, and Georgia? 14,000 people to the square mile have spawned the megapolis, Tokyo. And we have only 16 struggling churches in that great city. How are we going to win Japan? The ratio of Christians is something like this. If we were in Japan and in the town of Wake Forest, there would be 13 Protestants, 8 Catholics, and only 3/4 of a Baptist among the 13 Protestants. Or if we put it in Raleigh, we would be 500 Protestants, 300 Catholics, and only 30 Baptists. And so you can see something of the tremendous need in that land even today. One evening, Kawamoto, a young man of the Fukuoka University, a private institution, who had been coming to our home for English under my wife, came and asked to see me. He came about 7 o'clock in the evening. And of course, we began talking around various things. One of the first things said, "Do you like sumo?" That's the Japanese wrestling. And the little giant, Tochinoumi, had recently gone to East Germany. He weighs only about 325 pounds and is just about my height. And he won the tournament recently, and he'd been given that tour. And he'd been to West Berlin and East Berlin. And the young man asked me, "Did I read what the newspaper had said about it?" And Tochinoumi had remarked that he was not afraid when he went over to East Germany, nor of communism, but he says, "I don't want any of it. It's so dark and dreary. I don't want a part and parcel of it." And the young man offered this. That's the feeling of most of us. But he went on then, he said, "What do you think about our student riots? We don't hear too many things about American students rioting on political affairs." And I said, "Well, they have their riots of various kinds, but it's not exactly on political affairs, maybe." And he said, "Well, we see something of the idealism of socialism, and we think it comes nearer to the Christian concept of sharing. But," he says, "something's wrong." And I ventured to ask him, was it not the desire on the part of the majority to demand from a minority to give over what they have, rather than for each man offering what he had for the good of the others, a Christian type of communism or socialism? We talked around again, and then he asked me about Kabuki, the Japanese theater, something like the Shakespearean theater. One of the things of Kabuki, one of the outstanding plays, is that of the 47 Ronin, who committed suicide after they had avenged the death of their leader. That was a noble thing to do. But I tried to then point out that the scriptures say, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord." And true justice can come only as God and as righteousness reigns. And then we began to come into religious talk. And I asked him why it was that the religious statistics were 25% greater than the actual population of Japan. "Oh," he said, "you know, it's like this. When I want to get married, I go as a Shintoist and put on my white Shinto, go before the Shinto priest. Then when I die, I will be buried under Buddhist rites. And then if I want to be a Christian, I can be a Christian too. Just like a change of clothes, so to speak." And he had no conviction. And I asked him, "What do you think?" And he was interested. And by the time it was getting around 10:30, he had warmed up. And that was the reason he had come. And we began to talk together about the Beatitudes, the outline that Christ left for us for becoming a Christian, recognizing his poverty of spirit, recognizing his lack, and then being so sorry for it and mourning that he would give all that he had had before away and turn to that. And I tried to help him to see that though we did not have a God that we could see with our own eyes, that we can perceive him. Personality is the only thing that can perceive another personality. "Do you understand?" I asked him. It was a little bit difficult for him. I said, "Now you hear me talk and you see my face and all these things, but that's not me. But you can hear God even as you hear me, as he speaks to you." And then I said, "I want you to, if you will, to accept him and his way." And he said, "Christianity is very wonderful and all that," but he hadn't committed himself. "Persecuted for righteousness' sake, yes, I'll go that far." But then I tried to point out that even beyond that was a something, an entrustment with love, a positive desire to please Jesus above everything else. "Will you entrust him?" He didn't go away with saying he would. But that night, He came to me. I mean, he wrote this letter, and I'd like for you to hear it. It's rather quaint, and it's English, but it may be of some value. Good evening, Dr. Dozier. Last night, thank you for your good words. I could found something good and pure, and then dot, 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 in your words. He couldn't find the words that he wanted to express the things that he wanted to say. I was born new last night. You awake me. I made up my mind that I will give Jesus all my keys of my heart and entrust him. And last night you told me the real meaning of blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed. Thank you. Thank you. You awake me. I felt real you. That is, spiritual you. Good night, Yoichiro Kawamoto. He left about 11:30. He wrote these in the early morning hours of that night and sent it to me because he could not come immediately. I didn't know that he had made that decision. He wouldn't express it to me. But all the 4.5 hours spent with that young man was an experience of joy. The real you. Oh, that all of us might have others experience the real you, alive in Christ. Paul put it, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Normal exegesis would have it that Paul was speaking of his own death, desiring to be with the Lord. But in another sense, dying to self and rising new with Christ each day is the only way the kingdom's gain will be achieved. May we pray together. Our Father and our God, help us to have the courage to die and give us the joy of rising again day by day so that others may see you because you are reflected in us. We pray in Jesus' name.